Hey guys, I'm welcome to Bridge the Gap Podcast. I'm your host, Carl Nicholas. This podcast is for those who seek to bridge the gap between us and heaven. How to keep God first in our everyday life, moving from church to kingdom. Let's dive in. Hey, you guys, I want to welcome you back to Bridge the Gap Podcast. I'm your host, Carl Nicholas, and I'm excited to be back. It's been a while, but I'm great that I'm back. And today, I just want to talk about how to be anchored in faith. And in my honest opinion, to really understand how to be anchored in faith, you need to know what anchored means. And anchored simply means to put securely in place or in desired position. So basically, being connected to something that is firm, that is solid, something that is not gonna move. It can stand some trials, you know, stand something. It can stand some harsh winds, some bad storms. It can stand up to something. It has some grit to it, and that's what we should have in Christ. We should have faith that is anchored to something. So, as a Christian, what should we be anchored to? Well, let's see what the Bible says. In Luke 6, 46 through 49, it reads, "Now, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone comes to me and hears my words and acts on them. I will show you who he is. He is like a man building a house who dug deep, laid a foundation on a rock, and when there was a flood, the river burst against that house, and yet it could not shake it, because it has been built well. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation, and the river burst against it, and it immediately collapsed, and the ruin of the house was great." In this parable, Jesus is comparing himself to a foundation, a solid foundation. He's saying he is the foundation that you should be built upon. He is the foundation that we should be tied to, should be secured to. And if you're not secured to him, you're going to be like a house that is built upon sand. And when a strong wind or weather comes, it's going to be great ruin. And that is so true. You know, we're not built upon and securely tied to Christ. How can we stand anything in this world? You know, we're going to have trials. We're going to have tribulations. We're going to have bad days. We're going to have just trying days that we're going to have to lean on him, lean on his strength. And I think something that's so unique about this parable about the builders is that most of the time a builder knows that he needs a strong foundation. So that first off, they're not even going to put up a house if the foundation is not good. Like, they're not even going to like attempt. They're going to figure out how to get this foundation to be sturdy. You know, my dad is a contractor. He knows everything about how to build a house. Everything. I mean, when I say everything, Eggerson thing, he's going to sit there, put your foundation, he's going to put your plumbing, he's going to put your electrical work, your woodwork, your finishing touches, your insides. He know how to do it all. From the very beginning to the end, he know how to do it. And you know, that's one thing, you know what? He put the most time in the foundation. He takes more time on the foundation than he takes anything, because he knows the foundation must be strong, must be secure. It has to be. And as a Christian, our foundation has to be on Christ. It can't be built on nothing else, on no one else. It has to be built on Christ. Because he's the light, the way, and the truth. He is the only, you know. And I think what's another fascinating thing about this parable is that, let's read one part again that I like. "It is like a man who's building a house who dug deep, laid a foundation on a rock, and there was a flood. The rock burst against that house, and yet it could not shake it, because it's been built well. But the one who heard and has not acted in accordance is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. So basically, Jesus is saying here, there's people out here who has heard the word of God, who has heard the truth. But instead of building their foundation upon him, they'd rather build their foundation upon the law, build their foundation upon other religions, other false gods, other narratives that doesn't lead to him. So they heard the truth, but they denied the truth. So basically, they heard the word, but wasn't doers of the word. And that is a scary thing to be in, you know, because this paper right here is really warning us. If we don't put our faith and be anchored on the strong foundation of Jesus, we're going to fail. We're going to be in ruin. We're not going to have the life that we want to have. When we die and we go face the judgment, it won't be pretty. It won't be pretty at all, because grace is here on earth while we're alive. Grace is not going to be there when we die. You know, I mean, and that's something that we really have to really be honest about. Long as we're alive, we have the time to get it right. But once we die, grace and mercy does not matter, because your life has been fulfilled. You have did everything that you were going to ever do. And so in that point on, God has to judge that. And if you don't have Jesus, you'll be lost. Jesus is our hope and anchor who will keep us in the midst of storms. He is the one who's able to keep us steadfast and unmovable in spite of the tides of life. You know, Hebrews 6 and 19 declares, "Hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast." Jesus is the anchor. Jesus is the foundation. He's both. Believing in Jesus Christ gives you a confidence that you can that you have in this life, that whatever may come, you can weather the storm. And if you are to, say, perish, like say you have cancer or ill sickness, you are to leave this earth, because it's appointed to man to die once and then he faces judgment. Even if you do perish, you still have the confidence in Jesus that when in time for judgment, you will be saved. You will be spared from the wrath of God. So that leads to beg the question. Are you anchored in Christ? And you may ask, so how do I be anchored in Christ? How do I be anchored in Christ Jesus? Well, you have to simply just believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead. And then you repent from your sins. Get into God's word, learn of him, pray always, and give God praise always. And this would lead you to be anchored in Christ. And it's, you know, we can expound upon that if you want. You know, we can, you know, learn of him, learn of God. And, you know, to learn of God, you have to get into his word. You have to read his word. You have to learn about how God did things in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, how everything connects to itself between Genesis and Revelation. This love story that he gave us, which is the Bible, all 66 books. And the word of God is the inspired word of God through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by all writers that wrote the Bible. And what else? Another thing to help you learn of him is to spend time with him. Spend time in his word, spend time in prayer. Just thinking of the things of high, thinking of the things that God has said in his word. He has said to you that he have done in your life. Just simply giving thanks and praise always, showing gratitude to having life, showing gratitude to your loved ones, showing gratitude to your neighbor. And this can lead you to be anchored in Christ by keeping him at the forefront, by keeping him at the center of it all, keeping him first, you know, my mantra. God first. And this will help you lean and be anchored on Christ. And this is something I also want to talk about the hope that God gives us, about Jesus gives us. In Hebrews 6:16-20, you know, the Bible writer, because we don't know who really wrote Hebrews, it's not like stamped with somebody who wrote, like most of the books in the New Testament written by Paul, really don't know. But the writer intends to instill steadfast hope in the readers to keep them from drifting aimlessly through the Christian life. You know, he does so by identifying three worldly reliable sources of hope as an anchor for the soul: God's word, God's character, and God's son. The Lord not only gave us the promise of salvation and eternal life, you can reference John 3:16 for that, but he reinforces by binding himself with an oath so that those who receive the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. Once God says something, he's going to do it. You know, he's faithful to perform anything that he said. God's word and nature are rock solid. He is trustworthy. It is impossible for God to lie. Impossible, because God is not a man. God doesn't do what we do. You know, we can say one thing, okay, yeah, I'll be there, but then we don't show up. We lie, basically, because we wasn't a man of our word or a woman of our word. But God will always fulfill any and everything that he said. Dependability of God's promises and his character bolster our faith so that we can take hold of hope to set us before and be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary beyond the curtain, where our forerunners, Jesus, hath entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. God's Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, is a powerful and dependable anchor for our soul. Our hope inspires encouragement is based on the finished work of Christ. So, with all that being said, our hope should be on Christ. Our hope should be confidence that God had completed this magnificent work through his son, Jesus Christ, through his promise that he gave Abraham, that his promise that he gave at the beginning of the time when the serpent deceived Eve and Adam ate of the tree. That he said that he told the serpent that you will bruise his heel and he will bruise your head. That seed he was talking about was Jesus. And Jesus came and died on the cross. He fulfilled every promise, every prophecy that the Bible contends of, it speaks of, he fulfilled it. In those 33 years that he lived, he fulfilled every single prophecy. Just like an anchor stops a ship from drifting with the winds of the current, and just like a foundation holds up a sturdy building or house, Jesus keeps our life from drifting and shifting and moving away from God. He keeps us close. He keeps us steadfast. He keeps us sturdy and secure in the love of God, in the hands of God. Jesus is who will prevent our soul from wavering and wandering in times of pressure and turmoil. You know, God has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This gives us an inheritance of Jesus Christ, an inheritance that is unperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for us by God's power, being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. This is something that we should rejoice about, that once we live through this life, like I was saying earlier, if you are to perish, when we do perish, we will be able to rejoice that we will be able to live with God forever. We will have eternally communion with God because Jesus paid the price for us. You know, as believers, we have a living hope. Jesus is our living hope. Jesus is our foundation. Jesus is our anchor. You know, he holds us secure. He holds us tethered to the steadfast word of God. And God's word is unchanging. He's reliable. He's faithful. So, are you anchored in Christ? Are you anchored in Christ? I hope this, I really hope that today really helped you and sparked you to, check your foundation, check what you're tethered to, check what you're steadfast on, what belief do you have? What teachings that you hold on to? Are your teachings biblical? Like really biblical, not just a man-made, they twisted these words and they made it sound like it's biblical. No, is it really biblical? Do it line up with the word? Or precept upon precept? Have they kept the scripture in context like they should have? Is it based upon love? Is it based upon the character that God say we should have? If it's not, then maybe you should check. Maybe you should check your your settings a little bit. Go in your little software and go check what you're setting, your preferences, your accessibilities is saying. Check that out. And just be honest with yourself. Do you believe in Christ? Do you really believe in Christ? Or are you a doer of the word? Or you're just somebody that has heard that you should build your foundation upon Christ, but hasn't done it yet? Your foundation is built upon the worldly things, upon money, upon your job, upon your kids, upon your family, upon drugs, upon anything that leads you away from God. And I encourage you, to just get back and be honest with yourself and really answer the question, am I anchored in God? Now I want to just transition into some questions that, a couple of listeners had asked me to answer. And the first question is, what inspired you to pursue your current career or passion? Well, basically, why I started this podcast, that's how I'm going to take this question. Why I started this podcast is because, all my life, I've been raised up in the church. And I have heard the word preached 100,000 times. And it always fascinated me how each and every person have their own perspective of what the Bible is saying. And if you have a true pastor or a true teacher up there that's teaching, they pretty much would say the same thing. It would be congruent. It would be, would all align because the Bible says what it says. And, if a person is true, they're going to preach what the Bible is really saying. And, I always wanted to be that type of person. I always wanted to be that man that, that leans on the word of God, that teaches this correctly, like keep it in context, not to add my own opinions, but allow the Bible to really teach us and fold out in our everyday lives. And that what really drives me. I want to be a true man of God. I want to be like Paul. I want to be like Peter. I want to be like people in my life. I want to be like my father. I want to be like my pastor. I want to be like some of my uncles and friends that I know, true men of God. I want to be like them because they have walked this. They've walked this life, and I see that with Jesus and really knowing the word of God and walking the word of God, they have been successful. Like they really have been successful, and that's why I chose to start this podcast to really just teach the word and to help people, dive deeper in God and keeping God first. And, moving from church to kingdom. Another question a listener asked me, what's a valuable life lesson you've learned from a challenging experience? Well, I would have to say the challenging experience that I have gone through is, just a couple of breakups in my life, with a couple, I have two kids, two different baby mamas. And I would say that could be a difficult situation because, like you keep making babies out of wedlock, that's never a good thing. Challenges come in with that. But I would just say a valuable lesson is, hold out for marriage. Hold off for marriage. Hold off for marriage. I love my kids. They're absolutely blessed. They're not a sin. The act that I did was a sin. So basically, I would say hold off. Like definitely hold off because you create soul ties to people. Once you have sex with them, you create soul ties. And soul ties are so hard to break. They are hard to break. Cause you saying I do doesn't make you marry. You consummating that marriage through sex would make you marry. That would bounce you to that person. That would make you one flesh. And I would say definitely abstain from having sex because I never wanted sex until I had sex. And that's a whole different situation there. That's something we can actually talk about on the pod a little later. On a different episode, we could definitely dive deep in that. And so, yeah, that's one of the valuable life lessons I've learned. And another question, how you define success and how has that definition evolved over time for you? Well, how do I define success? Well, I define success how God defines success. I try to look through the Bible and see how these men before us lived. Also through the men that I know in my personal life and men that have been very, very significant in our government, in our everyday lives, in our past. How did they live their life? What they based their life upon? And success for me today is being able to take care of my kids, to pay my bills, and to live happy. I feel like that's success where I'm at right now. Success for me is being able to be an honest and true man that take care of his family and love God. And how has my sex evolved over time? Well, basically, when I was younger, I used to, want to be a professional sports player, football, baseball, those were my sports I played. I wanted to be successful in that, so that means making millions of dollars, having a fine wife, multiple kids, they're doing great, graduating college. Having a big house, I found success in material things, but now I have found success in just being a good person, having good character, being true to myself, being authentic, being the real me, not being fake, not being, somebody I'm pretending to be the real me, because, God doesn't bless the fake you. He bless the real you. And if anybody out there that is struggling, to be your real self, I encourage you, just be yourself. God gave you every gift you're ever gonna have when you was born. Use it, perfect it, protect that gift at all costs, and give that gift away because that gift is what's gonna make room for you in this life. God knew exactly what to give all of us. That's why you should be your own authentic self. You are you. You can't be nobody else. You can't be, your idols, your mentors. You gotta be you. And one more question that a listener had asked. Why is it important to save money for what you need and don't need in life? Well, that's easy. You need to save money because one day, a rainy day may come, and saving money is, it's key to financial literacy, financial success. You just should definitely save more than what you spend, but you should also allow your money to work for you, invest in things that are going to keep money coming to your life, Have a little side hustle, always have your money working for you. Ooh, I like this question. It said, what would you do if God was on earth with you right now? Well, what I would do, I would simply ask God a billion questions. The first question I would ask God, why did you allow Adam and Eve to eat that fruit? Just slap it out his hand. And why does you, and another question I would ask, why you love us so much? And why you created the angels? Not to have free will, but you gave us free will. What made you create us in your image? And you didn't create the image in your image. I would definitely ask a question like that because I'm curious to why he chose us, something that's insignificant, something that made out of dirt and water. But he gave us his life. He breathed, he gave his breath of life into us. He made us valuable by simply giving us his breath. I would definitely ask that and just commune and fellowship with him, just try to prick it, prick his brain. I know I never would understand and fathom his thoughts or his ways, but I definitely would try. Definitely. But I'm thankful for any of those that still here listen to the podcast. I thank you. Thank you for my listeners that listened to the earlier three episodes. Sorry, it's been a while, but I'm going to be consistent. I had took a little time to myself to get my thoughts together, just get some stuff in order in my life. But I'm here, I'm back, and I can't wait. I have great things in store for this podcast. Be blessed, stay dangerous. Peace. Hey guys, I just want to thank you for listening to the podcast. I hope you come back each and every Friday as we continue to bridge the gap, moving from church to kingdom. Stay blessed, stay dangerous. Peace.
I've been on the road, I've been doing shows. Now we eating steak, remember sleeping on the floor. We're stealing at the gas station when the time's cold. In the kitchen, hostel trying to flip it off the stove. Rocking fake J's, praying that nobody know. Watch them take my dog away, it was way too hard to stay composed.